All right, beautiful people, on this Tuesday afternoon, the OGPA is joined by Big Rob in the studio, and yes, we got a celebrity in the building.
Yes, sir. That's from what I understand. Yeah. I didn't even know when I was at the hotel earlier today. I didn't know he was a celebrity. I would have bowed down to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Say this brother could burn.
He was just dressed as a regular person.
Right. Muskegon's very own Jimmy Hill has came back home just for today. For a special occasion. He's been all over the world, born and raised here in the city of Muskegon Heights, is a culinary arts expert at in Coldwater, Michigan, at the correctional facility there. And we are happy to have back home Jimmy Hill. Sir, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
You look good. You told me what year you graduated, and I'm like, wow, you don't look like it.
Well,
it's the food.
It's because of the food.
It's because of the food.
That I got these extra LBSs on me.
No, but yeah. You look good though. Like you graduated in the class of 1973.
Yeah, it's seemed like a very long time ago, but those years went pretty fast. So here we are now, 50 years later, and but. I'm appreciative just to be a part of Muskegon Heights. I've always said that you know you can't take it out. You know it's changed a lot, but I still love coming home because it's my home.
Well, Michael Smith down in Houston, Texas says, "My man."
That's my man. That's CC Big.
All right. You are a chef at Coldwater at the institution there, but you're not just an ordinary chef. You teach what? What do you teach the kids?
Well, I teach the culinary arts program for the Michigan Department of Corrections, and my facility is Lakeland Correctional Facility, which is in Coldwater, Michigan. So it's basically it's a cooking class. We teach everything that you would learn when you go to downtown here at the CIM or Johnson & Wales or, you know, the Culinary Institute of America. It's the same thing, same book work, same material. It's just that they're locked up. So,
wow. So I was reading that because of your program, they're seeing less people coming back to prison that's been through your program.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, the numbers say 6% recidivism rate.
6%?
Yeah.
Woo! They need to have your program like in every prison then.
there's a total right now of 10 programs. There used to be 14, but because of, you know, some of the closings, the facilities. So now we're down to 10. So
these programs, are they your programs?
It's the same program. Uh-huh. But there are different facilities, and then there's different instructors. So we have the same book work, same material, and we have the same budget. But you know, some of us just do some things that's a little different in terms of getting the information out across to the students.
Wow. Jimmy Hill's in the building. From Muskegon Heights and works in Coldwater, but been all over the world. Today you came home because of what? What made you come? And it's cold outside. I know there's not ideal weather for you. Y'all probably don't have any snow over there.
It snowed a little bit the other night, but when I got on the highway yesterday coming here, the ground was nice and clean and you know everything was dry. I woke up this morning here because of the lake effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked totally different than it was when I went to bed last night. So,
that's right. Right. Yeah. What made you come home?
I came home today because Chef Lakeisha Harris, Soul Phil, she asked me if I would come to her opening today. So I came for that. And, you know, I like to, you know, to support her. And so that's why I'm here.
What's your opinion of her chef skills?
You know, she is she always says that she's not classically trained. But, you know, you don't have to be classically trained to be a good, you know, cook, chef. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all just cooks, you know, but it just depends on how you come across with your food, with what you do with it. So some people are more classical. Some are more, you know, refined. And then you have, you know, cooks that just, it's, if it's in you, it's in you.
Right.
And so, you know, she's a good person and she likes what she does. So, you know, you try to support that when you see it.
Wow. And were you surprised to see the good turnout that it was?
Yeah, it was, you know, because of the weather, maybe it could have been more, but it was pretty busy when we were there.
Yeah.
And I got in last night. So it was, a, you know, a few things going on there. Yeah, I am I'm pleased with what she's doing. And you know, she just, you know, it's still a long road because, you know, you need other people to make you get to where you need to be at in food service.
Exactly.
So I just, if they support her, then, you know, she's in good shape.
So that's the key word, right?
Support is the key word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Big Rob. You know, I got a bunch of questions. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I got a ton today. So what's your favorite food to cook?
I like spicy foods. you know, things that, you know, like Peruvian and Cajun, Creole, Mexican. Things that have spice. Spice is good for you. You know, it's good. You know,
really?
Pumps, you know, keeps your blood circulating. And garlic is good for you. And you know, so pepper flakes and things that, you know, spicy, it keeps you going.
Okay.
You know, but I love spicy food. As you can see, I love food because, you know, I got got these extra LBSs on me here. So, but yeah, I like spicy foods.
What is a sous chef?
A sous chef is the second in charge.
Oh, that's all that means.
Yeah.
I thought it was some title or something. Because I watch cooking shows and it's like, yes, sir, sous chef. And I'm like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, there's a brigade that you follow. And the one that's in charge is the executive chef. And then his right-hand man is the sous chef. So it just goes down from there.
Oh, so that's all it means, second in charge. I thought it was something to do with seafood.
Sound,
yeah,
like more money,
seafood or something. You know, I'm like, sous chef? What is a sous chef? What's the hardest food to cook?
You know, it depends on, you know, how much you get into what it is that you do. For a long time, I, you know, German food just, it always tripped me up. You know, I like German food, but I could never, you know, get it to where I thought I could feel proud about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still kind of.
What about nervous. Like Asian cuisine?
I like Asian cuisine, you know.
Because they eat a lot of fresh, stuff from the ocean.
A lot of, you know, a lot of what people call funky flavors. You know, some people don't like, you know, fish sauce. But, you know, as you go across over in there, you know, there's Vietnam and, you know, Vietnamese, they do a lot of, you know, that fish sauce is a staple there.
Oh, really?
And you know, like kimchi smells so bad, but it tastes really good, you know. Right. And so, it's just how it's prepared. And but fish sauce is a big part of that. So.
Wow, Jimmy's in the building, family. He's in the building. Michael said he's a duck liver. Michael Smith in Houston, Texas. Andy O'Reilly says, hey, Jimmy. BB White, I don't know where she's at. She's another celebrity. She says, keyword, support brothers and sisters. Now, you have been to how many different countries?
Man. I think 12.
And so explain this at the show. In certain countries I go to, I know the food is good, it's clean, but my body don't agree with it. And you get a what they call a traveler's diarrhea. Mm. What causes that? What
you know, there's a lot of people in line waiting for that answer.
I just know Jimmy can help me. So,
it's kind of the same thing when, you know, you go to Mexico, they say, you know, don't drink the water.
Right.
Well, you know, some foods are just your body isn't used to, and it takes a time. It takes time for it to adjust, and you know, so you get that stomach queasiness.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Hawaii, and there is so many different fruits over there. I had no problem with eating them, but then later on that evening, my stomach was like, "Hey, man, you
kind of went out there, Jimmy.
You ate some stuff you shouldn't ate." So, and the thing is, you can't bring any of that stuff back.
Right.
Because I was going to try to bring a couple of those, you know, different fruits back to show the class.
End up on A&E channel.
It ends up as you walk through the airport and they scan your bag, all that stuff that they take out, you know, they throw it on the top and, you know, they discard it. They won't let you bring it out.
So. Even from Hawaii?
Even from Hawaii.
No, I know from other countries you couldn't bring food. I didn't know they'd be that strict in Hawaii. All right, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, no, I was fascinated by what he was saying, because this is Hawaii is part of America, right? Why can't you bring a piece of fruit from Hawaii to Michigan? I mean,
because it's almost in Japan
or New York.
You can't take stuff in. They won't allow you to bring stuff in because, you know, they're trying to stay as, you know, I guess, clean and pure or safe as possibly can without bringing in something that's going to, you know, upset their
nature,
you know, ecosystem.
Yeah. Wow. Jimmy, so when did you first realize that you are a great chef, a great cook? Was it in high school here? Well, did you have Dr. Padres?
Yeah, he was the geometry teacher. But
yeah.
We were always in the room. You know, he used to call me Richie the Rich Kid. He said, "Hey, Richie the Rich Kid. What's up, Richie?" You know, and I mean, that was just because I was the only child. And so it seemed.
So you had Converse.
It seemed as though that, you know, I had more than other people, which a little, some things.
Right.
But, you know, it was just because there was not enough other people to have to buy for in the family. It was just me. So, yeah, some things came a little bit easier. My father wasn't having it. You know, he was like, I remember that one day someone said to me, he said, "Man, Jimmy Timber, y'all got money." And to me, it didn't mean anything to me, but I said it to my father. I said, "Yeah, you know, they at school, you know, they be calling me Richie the Rich Kid." And it was like, you know, "Man, y'all got money, you rich." And he said to me, he said, "No," he said, "I've got money." He said, "You just live here." So I never forgot that because he was really funny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're right. It was his money.
Right. So when did you realize that you had the skill set?
I was 8 years old and my mother was in the kitchen one day and she was cooking dinner.
Uh-huh.
She had this Betty Crocker cookbook. And so I was flipping through the pages and I seen this chicken and rice soup. And so I asked her if I could cook that. And she said, yeah, you could cook that. Just, you know, get everything that you need out. And so while she was cooking, I had this pot over there and I started this chicken and rice soup. And I didn't know what I was doing. So what happened was it overcooked. And I didn't know that when something cooks too long, it condenses down. And it also gets, you know, the flavors like fortified. So it became a chicken and rice stew. So I let them taste it. And they said, "Oh, Jimmy, this is pretty good." And so I took some next door to my neighbors, the Trammels.
Oh, wow.
And they was like, "Yeah, Jimmy, this is really good." And I think that was like a Sunday. And so for the rest of the week, I probably cooked that three or four times. And I continued to take that next door to people. And they was like, oh, Lord, here we come again with this chicken and rice.
Right.
And but I didn't know what I was doing. And I just kind of stumbled up on the fact that, you know, if you cook something longer, it will condense down and the flavors are fortified and it becomes more flavorful. So that's when that was my first dish I ever cooked. But my father, we sold barbecue, in the neighborhood. People would come from, Illinois and Wisconsin and Indiana to buy this barbecue. So I was always out there on the grill with him. And my mother, she worked for Muskegon General Hospital, so she was a dietitian. So I was always around food. So it just kind of, seeped in me, I guess.
Wow. You have a documentary out. Tell us about your documentary.
The documentary is called Cold Water Kitchen. And basically, it's about the job that I have now in the Michigan Department of Corrections. It's about my class. And the way it came about is one of my students wrote a letter to, at that time, the food critic, Mark Kurlianchek. And he said, hey, I just want you to know that I'm a part of this class down here in Lakeland Correctional Facility. And, we think you should come and check it out because we're doing some amazing things. And so the food critic called me and asked me if he could come and visit the class. Because every year in May, I have a program I do. It's called the Food Service Symposium. And I invite chefs in to see the class, to see what it is that the students do. And, we have like round robin interviews. And then we cook them lunch and we do a chop competition where, I have one of my students up against another one. For the last couple of years, we've changed it. So now it's one student with the chef and one student with the chef. And so they get a chance to work alongside working chefs.
Okay.
So he came and he said, I'd like to come to check your class out. And so I thought, well, let me talk to my students and, I'll let you know. And so I talked to some of the students. And I said, this food critic wants to come and be a part of the symposium. What do you think? And they was like, no, chef, we know what you said. They're just going to come in and bash the food and, say something like they thought they were really cooking food, but they were cooking food loaf and except this one student. And he is a part of the documentary as well. His name is, then it was Nimrod, but his name is Daquan Sistrom. He said, chef, let him come. And we're going to show them what we can do. So I thought, okay, because the Detroit Free Press is in Wayne County. Most of my students are from Wayne County.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, that's good because they'll get a chance to see what's going on. And so I called him back. I said, okay, you can come. And so we did a wild game meal. Did like a roasted pheasant and duck and wow. We did rabbit. They let me do a scallop dish.
Wow.
The students did. But and so when he came, we start to serve. We served him his first plate and he looked at it and he said it, there's a bank of windows in my classroom. So he set it in the window and he took a picture of it. And then he tasted it. And you could, the first taste, just kind of like a regular face.
Right.
But then the next dish, and then the next dish, you could see his face changing every time to the point to where he was going, And so that was like the first week of May. It's always the first Monday.
Inside the wall. This is inside the prison.
Yeah. It's always the first or second week in May because Mondays are always good for most chefs because a lot of them are off Sunday, Monday, or Monday, Tuesday. So this was the first week of May that year, which was 2018. And 3 weeks later, I was walking through the National Restaurant Show in Chicago. And I seen these ladies about maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 paces ahead of me looking in my direction. And I heard this one lady said, well, there he goes right there. And so I thought she was talking to another lady. I thought they was talking about somebody behind me.
Right.
So I kind of like try to get out the way. And she said, no, we're talking about you. She said, isn't this you? She was looking at her phone. And I said, yeah. I said, it is me. She said, yeah. I said, well, whatever happened, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. And so what had happened was the food critic had released the article.
Oh, wow.
In the free press. And so it went all over. And about 3-4 minutes later, he called me and said, hey, chef, I just want you to know that we released the article. And I said, yeah, this lady was pointing at me like, you know.
Just
I,
like that.
I told her I wasn't there. So that's how I found out that it was had been released. So it's, you know, just kind of since then we've been, you know, we've been all over. It finally hit to. In 2022, it went to the, it's called the DOC Film Festival in New York.
Okay.
For the world premiere.
Okay.
And since then, we've been just out in the circuit, the film circuit.
Wow. If you're just tuning in, we have Muskegon's very own chef, Jimmy Lee Hill, who has been working inside the correctional facility in Coldwater. How many years?
I'm into my 40th year.
40th year. Wow.
Right now. Yeah.
But you're a celebrity chef who just happens to work inside the Coldwater Corrections Institute. Was it Lakeland? What's the name of it?
Lakeland Correctional Facility.
Lakeland Correctional Facility. Yeah. And have any of your former students got into the restaurant business once they get out?
Yes, sir. The one we were just talking about, Daquan Sistrom, he, the movie follows four people, me and three of my students. Mm. Two of them, one of them being Daquan, he owns a restaurant in Detroit on the east side. It's called the Green Mile Grill. Mm. And it's on the corner of Lindquist and Gratiot. So he owns a brick and mortar and then also a food truck. So
wow.
There's a lot of stories out there from guys out of my class, a lot that we couldn't really follow at the time because it's considered as over familiarity. But now it's changed a little bit to where they say, you know what, you guys should keep track of what they're doing. And so for the last 7-8 years, we've been keeping track of, you know, who does what. You know, as long as they're on parole or probation, they can't talk to me.
Okay.
So they have to be completely off of paper before I can have contact with them.
How many inmates do you think you have impacted over 40 years through your class?
Man, it's 1,000 at least. Yeah.
Wow. Is this a ministry for you?
You know, a lot of people say that you know, I'm doing God's work, and you know, I was just putting food on the plate, you know. And handing out the books, you know, it was just in them to do what they're doing. But I mean, I understand the, you know, what people say.
You could be at a 5-star restaurant.
I hear that
you could be at a JW where you're making very good money, or you could be in some of these fancy resorts, these resort areas, Seychelles and Mauritius or Tahiti or whatever.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to stay at the correctional facility? Were you making a lot less money? You know, you're okay now. They make money there. You're okay.
Well, but
it's a different level there.
It's a different level. Yeah. There's a lot of people say that all the time. And so, you know, you have to want to be in food service to be in food service. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't fake that. And so, I mean, when I first started off, I clearly wasn't in it for the money because it's a civil service job.
Right.
So it's not like we getting tore off major coins anyway.
Right.
But I like my job. And those guys, some of those guys they're completely just they don't understand food because they come from a inner city. You know, some cases, you know, a lot of them never seen a grocery store. And so they don't really know where the food comes from. They just think it comes from the store.
Right.
So there's we have a football field sized garden in my back wow. of the class. And so I took a student out one day and we pulled up some potatoes in the bush. And once it came up, when he seen the potatoes hanging down, he said, "Chef, what's that?" I said, "These are the potatoes that we're going to make your French fries out of today." He said, "Wow, I just thought they came from Farmer Jack's, because Farmer Jack's was a store, grocery store in the Detroit area. Then they went away. So they're just sponges. They absorb so much and they have so much to prove to a lot of people because society says that, you know, this is where you need to be at. And, you know, you never, you know, be anything. And so a lot of those guys, they have a chip on their shoulder. And so they want to do what they can do to prove that, you know, maybe I made some mistakes or something, but,
right.
You know, I'm worth something. And so that they bring to class every day with that attitude and it makes them do extremely well. I'm extremely proud of those guys that has gone on to be, you know, major players in the food service.
Because of him. He's a hero.
I just gave him the books.
He's humble. He's humble, Muskegon. He's very humble. He's one of ours. Before we go, is there any people that you want to shout out that had an impact on your life, maybe past, present, maybe they're going on, but who impacted Jimmy Hill?
Well, I definitely would say my parents, because we were a food service family because of the barbecue that my father did and because my mother worked in the kitchen in Skeeting General Hospital. In terms of just overall people, you know, I remember my mom would say, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are.
Mm.
And so I ran with the right group. You know, a lot of things I wouldn't do with some of my partners because I didn't want my mother to have to be to walk up and hobble up to a casket and look in and see me there because, you know, I did something that either I shouldn't have did or I was with somebody that I shouldn't have been with. And so I just hung around with, you know, some of my major partners, you know, Cleo McCarty and Tony Murdaugh and, you know, Jerome Richardson, you know, Michael Smith, CC Biggs, you know, that stands for cookie maker, chocolate maker.
Okay. All right.
That was it. I mean, my father was, he was the author and founder of some of the most tenacious butt whoopings known to man. So
the author and founder.
Yeah. So I did what I was supposed to do to avoid, you know, catching the raft.
Right. You don't want them problems. Right?
No.
So who? Just shout out your family then. Who is your family?
You know, it's like I said. I'm. It's kind of like just me, in terms of, you know, I don't have any like heel, family members here, and you know, I got my son Corey Hill and my son Terry Spears and my daughter, she just passed away this past May, Deasia Hill.
Deasia?
Yeah.
That was your daughter?
That's my daughter.
She was my neighbor on Baker Street for a while, a long time ago.
Yeah,
wow, sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah, she.
Wow, small world.
I think it's about 6 months.
Yeah, a lot of people loved it. Worked at Muskegon Township at the police department.
Yeah. So that's it in terms of.
I see it now. Members. I'm looking at you. I'm like, wow. I see Deasia.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your story, for making out time for this impromptu interview. And if people want to reach you, how can they find you?
Well, I have my website is chefjimmyleehill.com. And, you know, you can kind of look on the website and it'll show you food and there's some recipes and we add things to it, you know, periodically. Maybe we can add this this podcast to
it. Definitely.
So other than that, Facebook as well, Jimmy Lee Dash, Tebow Hill.
Thank you so much, man. You look, you know, fabulous. You look fabulous. I can tell you've been taking care of yourself, man. And that's good to see.
No. It's nothing better than 10:45 at night eating a bag of chips. That's got to be.
No, we're not hearing that. No,
yeah, I do some of my best eating at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. It's so good.
Yeah. What's the most healthiest thing though, from your perspective, that we can eat?
Food.
Don't say that, Rod. No, that's the easy way out.
Olive oil is good for you. It's better for you. And like I said, you know, spicy stuff, you know, it keeps your blood circulating. But you want to stay away from, you know, some of the more fatty foods. But, you know, they taste so good. And they they purposely make them taste that way. So you can eat them at 10 o'clock at night. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Muskegon, like and share this interview if you're watching online. Of course, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, it's on other social media. Like and share this conversation with our very own who is impacting the world. Hopefully they bring the documentary here so we can see it.
Yeah, we're working on that now. So you know, I get a lot of flack about, you know, it's been all over, when you gonna come home. Well,
it costs money.
So we see what happens here. We're working on it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. God bless you, man.
Yes, man. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
all right, Muskegon, going back to my music.